If you have your copy of God's Word tonight, I want to go to a couple of places in Scripture. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 first is where I want to go and begin with tonight. I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture there to start off with tonight. You know, those of you who don't know, who may be here the first time, last week we were just blessed as a church. We were given a property. It was 135 acres. It was a farm that was given to us, and it was an amazing story. And just amazing story of redemption. A couple that had owned the property, had sold the property to give money to ministry. What happened when they sold the property? They took the money, they gave it to a ministry. A ministry just misused the money, and the ministry ended up failing. It was a very devastating time for them, period for them. And they really struggled with ministry. They happened to come to our church and had come to our church for a few weeks, and we had the opportunity to be great friends with them and meet them and minister to them. Well, a few weeks ago, the gentleman who bought the property from them owned Gallatin Steel in Kentucky, and he offered the property back to him, and he said, well, I can't afford the property. Well, the owner of the property said, well, how about just give it to your church? And he said that when the man spoke that, the Holy Spirit immediately spoke to him and said, call Pastor Shane in River Valley, even though he goes to a different church. And that's just, how many know that's the favor of God right there? And he said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, you came to mind and you were the first, River Valley was the first ones to come to our mind because we knew in our hearts that y'all would do with what God wanted to be done with that property. And so that's a great responsibility. How many know that's a great responsibility when people trust you to the point to where God blesses you? And so you say, well, what are we going to do with that? I have no idea what we're going to do with it. But we're going to do what God wants us to do with it. I guarantee you that. And so we just have to seek the Lord and find the plans that the Lord has. And so I've been praying. I thought, Lord, what does that mean? What does that mean to this body? What does that mean to us as a people? What does that mean when God lavishes a blessing on you like that? What happens when, you know, when that happens to your life? And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, Lord, you've got to speak to me. But, you know, one of our leaders said something very smart yesterday. They had said, you know, sometimes a blessing can be a curse if we don't use it correctly. And that's, how many know that blessings can turn into curses? If you don't understand the purpose of something, you'll misuse it. Coletta used to say that all the time. If you don't understand the meaning of something or the purpose of something, you'll abuse it. If you don't understand the meaning of what it's like, what a wife is, you'll abuse it. If you don't understand the meaning of covenant with God, you'll abuse it. If you don't understand the principle of tithing, money, you'll misuse it. And so we have to understand the principle and the purpose of what God does. But the Lord began to speak to me. I was going to preach again tonight on the garments of God, but about 3:30, the Lord changed my mind. And how many know that's okay for the Lord to do that? He's allowed to do that. And so the Lord changed my mind, and I just dropped this word in my spirit, and I just have to say it because I feel like it needs to be preached. How many know that sometimes some things just need to be said? Huh? Right? How many know y'all own businesses? You own a business or you have a family member? I know sometimes things just got to be said. You know what I mean? And so I feel like that tonight. I think there's just some things that just got to be said. And so as a pastor, I feel the responsibility of that. So don't go away here mad tonight. Blame God if you don't like what's being said. But God is a good God, and He's a blessed God. But I want us to read it, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning in verse 9 and 10, because I think it's a very relevant. And I'm reading now the New American Standard. And, we need to talk about Bibles because a lot of people are buying some things. Did you know that the new NIV Bible is a gender-neutral Bible, the brand new one? And matter of fact, it's taken 670 verses of Scripture out of its new translation. Can you all believe that? And it's a gender-neutral Bible. And so don't buy the new NIV. Now, the old NIV, the 1982 published NIV, buy that. That's fine. That's still. But the brand new NIV study Bible has taken 600 and something verses out of it. Steer away from them. There's other versions too, but we'll talk about that. But I use the New King James here because I know most of you are used to that. But I love the translation of the New American Standard because that's a truer version to the original Greek. That is the most accurate version of Scripture to the original Greek that there is. So that's why I like using it. But if you look at beginning in verse 9 of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and some of you are very familiar with the story, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him with pain." Now Jabez called on God, the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me, that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. How many of you would like God to grant you what he requests, what you request of him? Huh? How many would like God to answer some prayers in your life? How many know God wants to answer the prayers in your life? Because he's a big God and he loves to do that. But I want to talk a little bit about something. The Lord began to deal with me about capacity and what capacity is. And what's it mean to have capacity as a believer. And the Lord just began to deal with me about this. That God blesses us, that God wants to increase our capacity to receive from him. He wants to increase our ability to believe in him. He wants to increase our ability to trust in him. And when we do that, when our capacity increases to believe God, then God can bring some things into our lives that we normally would not have come in our lives had we not learned how to enlarge our capacity to serve God. Now, there's ways that we expand the capacity of God in our life. I was thinking today, and I thought, man, there are a few things that describe God. But nothing describes God better than that God is love. How many know God is love, right? And that's the nature of God. It's the very nature of God. The Scripture tells us there are a couple of things that God is. He's light. How many know God is light? God is love. And so we understand that. We know that. And so those are attributes of God. Or not attributes of God. That is what God is. But there are things God is that he is that are his attributes that are not who he is, but they're attributes of God. In other words, God is not prosperity, but God is a God of prosperity, right? God is not prosperity in himself, but God is a blesser. How many know that? God is a blesser. How many know God is not healing, but he is a healer, right? And so God is a healer. And so there are certain things in God that God is. He is love, he is light, but there's some things that are the attributes of God. And what that means is that those aspects of God, his attributes, are really kind of an option for the believer. In other words, you can be a Christian and still not be healed. Y'all hear what I'm saying, right? You can be a Christian and not be blessed. Y'all hang with me tonight. I'm going somewhere. Because they're the attributes of God. They're things that God brings into our lives that we have the choice to walk in. And it's not just physical healing, but sometimes it could be mental healing. It can be emotional healing. It could be healing of the heart. It could be healing of, you know, and there's you could be a Christian and still have a poverty mentality in your life and never really experience the blessing of God, because you never learn how to walk in the attribute of the blessing of God. And so there are things that are optional for the believer, that the believer that he walks in. And we know that God is love, obviously. Love is one of the things about God. You know, we are to love our brother. We know that. How can you love your brother who you see, but yet not love your brother that you see, but yet love God, as the Scripture tells us. And so these things are things that we are to walk in, that we're to walk out. They're attributes of God. They're optional for us. So the blessing of God is optional. So when the blessing of God comes on our life and God blesses us with it, and God wants to bless us, but I truly believe that sometimes God will bless a people and he'll bless individuals based on their capacity and their ability to receive and handle that blessing. Y'all hear what I'm saying? God wants to bless some of you, but there's some things God can't get to you because he knows if he gives it to you, you'll misuse it. Huh? It won't be used as God has intended it for it to be used in your life. It's kind of like the guy that wins the lottery. Huh? Right? He wins $4 million. But he goes out and buys $3 million worth of cars. Right? And he takes the other million and he goes to Vegas and then he comes home and he's got $100,000 left. Right? Now, I'm not telling you go play the lottery. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that sometimes blessing can come into our life, and when that blessing comes into our life, it's a sign of God's blessing on our life, but we have to learn how to have the capacity to use the blessings of God in our life, because if we learn to use the blessings of God that He does give us, we widen our capacity for God to bless us even more. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So if God blesses you, and you take what He gives you, and you use it for His kingdom appropriately, it enlarges your life to where God can bless you even more. Now, isn't that good news? Why? Because you've learned the principles of handling the blessing of God. And this is kind of the prayer of Jabez. You know, it's kind of the prayer that he's praying. And so, God, there's many things that we can walk in God that we have the choice as a believer to walk out. The favor of God, blessing of God, the peace of God, the joy of God. All those things are attributes of God that we can walk in if we choose to walk in them. You know, I was thinking today and this week as I was studying, and we've been on that series of the garments of God, of God clothing us. And I've always been puzzled by the scripture in Genesis where Joseph, y'all know Joseph, right? In the Bible, that's in the Bible. I read it, and it's in Genesis 37. Joseph was given a coat of many colors. Y'all know that story, right? And Joseph blessed his son, or Israel blessed his son, Jacob blessed his son, and his brothers became mad because he had a coat of many colors, right? Y'all know the story. They all got jealous. And the Bible says something that's interesting. It says that Jacob favored Joseph more than his other brothers. And I thought to myself, well, how unfair is that? How can a parent favor a son over another son, or a daughter over a son? And something kind of wants to rise up in me about the equality of that and how that may seem equal. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, there's a difference between favoritism and favor. There's a difference between favoritism and favor. See, God never shows favoritism, right? Because the Bible says that He is not a respecter of person. So God doesn't show favoritism to His children. But God does show favor on people. And sometimes some people find more favor in God than other people. Why? Because they learn how to walk out the attributes of God, and they know how to handle the blessings of God. And when they learn how to walk in that, the favor of God comes on them life, and that's what separates them. See, God shows no favoritism when it comes to justice, and when it comes to His mercy, and when it comes to the law of God, He never shows favoritism. But there are some people who get really blessed because they learn how to walk out the things of God. They learn how to live the principles of the Word of God, and the blessing of God comes on because they learn the principles of giving. They learn the principles of love. They learn the principles of walking out in purity and holiness. And as you draw closer to God, God draws closer to you. And so Jacob's coat had nothing to do with favoritism. It had to do with the favor that was on Joseph's life, because we know in the end that the Bible said that Joseph was a righteous man. Huh? And so righteousness will get you the favor of God. So y'all hearing me tonight? What did Joseph do? His righteousness expanded his capacity to receive from God. Now, he was young, and he had a trouble with that coat because he turned around and God revealed to him, and then he spouted off to his brothers that they would one day bow to him, which was true. But, you know, and then they end up turning on him. But see, we have to learn how to handle the blessing of God. We've got to learn how to, and see, Joseph had to learn that. See, he did not, he found favor with his father, and he was given that coat, but that coat could have caused him a lot of trouble. Huh? Because it got him what? It got him thrown into a pit, didn't it? And so the blessing of God, when it comes on our lives, we have to learn the capacity of it. Now, Jabez asked, he said, God, I pray that you bless me indeed. So in Covington, Kentucky, it really means that you bless me for real. You know what I'm saying? God bless me for real. That's what it means. God, that you would really bless me. Not just bless me indeed. How many want to be blessed for real? How many don't want fake, but you want the real blessing of God? And so his cry was, God, that you would bless me. That you would, y'all remember the book years ago that came out? It was called The Prayer of Jabez. It was a great book that blessed many people. Thousands of people read it. It was a great book. And so he's asking for God to bless him indeed. He said, enlarge my territory. In other words, what it means enlarge my capacity. Enlarge my ability. Enlarge me. And so God wants to enlarge our capacity. God wants to enlarge our ability to be used of God. Bless me, God, so I can be a blessing. Enlarge me, God, so that... And then he goes on and says something interesting. He says, that I may not cause no pain. And the Bible says his mother named him Pain, pain in childbirth. Now, I thought that was unusual because all childbirth is painful. Am I right? Has anybody ever given birth that childbirth wasn't painful unless they gave you a bunch of medicine and knocked you out? Huh? But all childbirth is painful, right? So that was an interesting statement. Why would he state the obvious? I believe it was his name. Names at that time often were attached to people's destiny. And so his parents was trying to give him a destiny that he did not want to follow. And so his prayer was, God, I don't want to be what they say that I am. And we're all born into this world into a sin nature, right? And the devil is the accuser of the brethren. How many know that's true? How many know the devil wants you to be something outside of what God wants you to be? But God wants you to be what he wants you to be. And God wants to change your nature and who you are. You don't have to be what you're born into a world of sin. But when God saves us, old things passed away, and all things have become new, right? So you don't have to be what you were intended to be. And the devil's always fighting to keep you in that place. And so he says, I don't want to cause pain. I don't want to be what they say that I am. I don't want to be, because hurt people hurt people. Is that right? And have you ever met people that are not happy in life? And so if they're not happy in life, it's their goal to make sure that nobody else is going to be happy. Y'all don't know nobody like that? All right, I guess I'm the only one. Right? Because why? Because people, and the reason is because they feel they've never learned how to receive from God the blessing of God. They've never learned how to expand their capacity to receive from God. They think that all their failure has to do with somebody else and not them. They think that the reason that they're always a victim, right? They're always somebody else. They're always the choice. It's not the choices they made. Mm-hmm. All right. Y'all hungry, I know. I gotta wind this up because I'm about ready to lose y'all to the smell. But what happens is that people like to remain where they are. They don't like the change. They don't want to move into something greater, something better that God has for them. They don't want to go to a place that God has got for them that's better. And it can happen in a church. It can happen in a group of people. How many know that God has plans for us that are beyond what we know? Huh? Because the Bible said that from the foundation of the world, huh? He created all things. He knew us in the womb. He from the foundation of the world, him and the Trinity planned out the history and the life of mankind. And so your destiny is much bigger than what you even can understand in your mind. How many know the destiny of this church is greater than what we could ever imagine that God would want to do? But how many know we'll never get there unless we learn how to manage the blessing of God and be able to expand our capacity to receive from God. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Which means when God blesses us, we better learn how to handle the blessing and do with it what God wants us to do with it instead of just fumbling over it and messing it up. And then turn around and say, well, why isn't God doing something? Why isn't God blessing? Why isn't He touching? Why isn't He doing it for us? Why is He? Because we've got to get to the place to where we understand the blessing of God comes on our life. And when it comes on our life, God's trying to expand our territory, our borders, our influence that we have as a church. And if we manage what God gives us, then God wants to take us greater and further than we've ever gone before. Now that... Yeah, that's right. And that's not necessarily has to be material. Huh? It can be spiritual. How many know revival can come when people understand the purpose of the blessing of God? When people expand their capacity to get closer to God, expand their capacity to be more righteous and to stand closer to God. How many know God can strengthen us? Well, the Bible says, we know this about God. God is immeasurable. How many know God's immeasurable? How many know you can't measure His riches? They're unsearchable, it says. His wisdom is unsearchable, right? His mercy, His strength. There's attributes of God that are unmeasurable. You cannot measure them. And from the foundation of the world, God has purposed man. Now, the Bible says that in the beginning, that the Spirit of God, the Trinity, was there when God created the world, and that when He created man and the plans for man. And so when we come to the book of Acts and God puts His Spirit in us, right? How many know that the Spirit that lives in you was in the beginning? Huh? How many know the Spirit was present when God made His plan for your life? How many know the Spirit was there when God birthed out of your life the plan that He had for you and the destiny that He was calling you to? How many know the Spirit was there when God made those plans? Huh? Now, you may not know all your destiny, but the Spirit of God living in you knows your destiny. And when the Spirit of God in you knows your destiny, the Bible said the Spirit of God leads and guides us, what? In all truth. And how many know the Spirit of God wants to take you to the fullness that God has for you? All that God has for you. Everything that God... But in order to do that, you have to learn how to handle the blessing of God. We've got to learn how to expand our capacity to receive from God. And that God finds us faithful with the small things that He gives us to do. And when we're faithful with those things, then what's God do? He enlarges our borders. Mm-hmm. Ha-ha-ha. The goodness of God. He is amazing. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll turn there, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, I want to read a verse of Scripture here to kind of help support this and explain what I'm talking about when I talk about the immeasurability of God and God is ultimate capacity. God, you know, let's just read. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. Now verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things which are visible. Now it says that the worlds were prepared. The word worlds there is not the world like we live in, like a system. It's the world, the translation there is the ages. Is that the ages were framed. Some translations say that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So what happened? In the beginning, God spoke the word, right? Everything came into existence. From the foundation of the world, God planned and made plans. And you, from the beginning of the womb, God had a plan for your life. The word of God was spoken. And so the word of God went forth. It said he framed the ages. And it meant generation after generation after generation. God spoke it into existence to the fullest of capacity. In other words, God's plan for your life is that you reach the fullness that God has for you. And so he spoke it into existence. Now, this is what's awesome, is that God always wants to fill us with his glory. How many know that? That's why I love when the scripture says, scripture doesn't say that the Spirit of God fills a building, right? It doesn't say that the Spirit of God enters a building. It doesn't say that the Spirit of God entered the tabernacle. It doesn't say the Spirit of God entered man. It said the Spirit of God filled the temple. It said the Spirit of God filled them with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means that it fills, the Holy Spirit will fill our lives according to the room that we make for him. In other words, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. How many know he will not violate what we don't ask him to do? And so the Holy Spirit fills our lives. It fills our church. How does it fill our church? It fills our church by the room that we make for him. When we make room for the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit comes and fills us. God loves to fill those things that are empty. God told him, he said, dig ditches in the midst of famine, and I'll fill them. God loves to fill those things which are open. Do you remember the banquet in the book of Matthew, where it says that they had a banquet and invited many to come, and there was those who gave excuses why they couldn't come. One had bought land and couldn't come. Some had bought oxen and couldn't come. Another one got married and couldn't come. And so they came back to the master and said that there's plenty of room. And he said what? He said, go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in until that my room has been filled. In other words, God wants to fill us, but he will not fill past the capacity that we have to receive the blessing of God. So God wants to fill it. If you give God an hour, he'll fill it. You give God a day, he'll fill it. You give God your life, and he'll fill your life with what you give God to fill. God wants to fill our lives with many things. So the ability God, whatever you ask God to enlarge, he will. God wants you to grow. God wants us all to grow in God. And he wants to expand the capacity that we have to receive him. See, some of you are used to 15-minute messages. That's your capacity. Huh? Anything outside of 15 minutes, you're done. But how many know God wants to expand your territory and your capacity to receive more of him? Some of you used to sing in one song, one time. Huh? And see, what happens is that God will fill whatever you give him. We put the time limits on God. We put the restrictions on God. We put the limitations on God. We put the restrictions on him and tell him how he's going to move, how he's going to bless, how he's going to be a part. But thank God, if God could find some people that'll be willing to expand their territory and capacity to receive the blessing of God, God will fill everything they make room for. If they worship an hour, God will fill it. If they'll preach it, God will fill it. You give God, whatever you give God, God will fill. And so we give God our finances, he'll fill it. Huh? Are y'all hearing me tonight, or am I just kind of missing it? In other words, God wants to expand our capacity. And so God wants to... I heard something today. It was interesting. I know. It's weird, isn't it? But I heard a preacher say this. He was an African preacher. This is what he said. He said, this is the first generation... This is the first generation that'll be able to connect nations to nations instantaneously. In other words, through media driven, through the power of media, through the power of technology, we're able to link nations and generations. We're able to link those things together. And I thought it was interesting because he was talking about how that the African church and the church in some of the third world countries have different giftings than what the American church has. And the reason is because when you're in Africa, you know, he was telling the story that he's a missionary there, and you have to apply for a telephone in Africa, right? And you have to apply for one. And then when they give you one, it takes 6 months to a year for them to hook you up, right? Now, if some of you all, if that was the case here, it'd drive some of y'all crazy. Because without a telephone, ain't none of y'all, some of y'all ain't got life, right? Because because you burn that telephone up. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Did you hear? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Do you know? Right? Guess what I heard? Uh-huh. And so, but, and what happened is he talks about how that in Africa, you just don't, like, call a doctor. You have to drive, like, 20 miles to a doctor. So if somebody's sick, you just don't pop them some medicine. You got to believe God to heal them. You got to lay some hands on some people and believe God to touch them. There's some things, in other words, their capacity to believe God is at a different level than in a lot of places. And a lot of times God will put us in places where our capacity will be challenged, where we have to trust God in areas we're not used to trusting God. But God's connecting nations. It's the first generation that God is connecting nations. And so it's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. I want to close with this tonight, and then we're going to go eat, praise God. But I want to close with this story because I felt like it was interesting. And I only got to the first part of my message. But I don't know if you all have ever heard of a lady by the name of, or if you've ever heard of a college called Berry College. Anybody ever heard of Berry College? It's in Rome, Georgia. And Berry College is founded by a lady by the name of Martha Berry. Martha Berry in the 1800s in North Georgia saw that the children were not being educated and was not being trained. And so what happened was these kids were growing up illiterate. So what she began to do was she began to teach these kids. She began to teach them math and arithmetic and reading and history, and she taught them herself, and it got bigger and bigger. And then all of a sudden, she started teaching them in her house. And so eventually, she had a little boy's house where she had a few boys and orphans that lived with her, but she didn't have the capacity to keep the girls, but she kept teaching and kept teaching. And then one day, she's sitting at a kitchen table or her table, and she's eating, and she said she felt the Spirit of the Lord speak to her to go see the richest man in America at that time, or the richest man that she knew at that time. She said, well, Lord, the richest man that I know is a guy by the name of Henry Ford. And so she gets in her horse and buggy or whatever she traveled with, and she went all the way from Rome, Georgia to Detroit, Michigan. Now, folks, in the 1800s, that's not an easy trip. That's not like getting on Delta and in 15, 20 minutes you're there. You know what I mean? That's a trek. And so she traveled all the way to Detroit, Michigan, and finally she got an interview with Henry Ford. And by chance that it happened. He normally didn't just see people in the public. I heard a story about Henry Ford one time that he hated lazy people. Matter of fact, I heard a story that the first person that went to the water fountain every day in his plant was fired. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? And so she goes in to meet Henry Ford, and she introduces herself, and she says, I'm Martha Berry, and she tells all that she's doing with these children and all the education she's trying to do, and she's saying, I've come to ask you, the Lord has told me to ask you for $1 million. And Henry Ford laughs. He said, you're crazy, woman. You are absolutely crazy. I'm tired of you people coming trying to take money from me all the time. He said, I'll tell you what, here's what I'll do. I'll give you what's in my pocket. And he took out a dime, and he flicked the dime at her. And it hit her in the chest, and it rolled off. And so she picked that dime up, and she walked out. And she walked out, and of course she was discouraged, but she said, God, I was obedient to what you told me to do and what you asked me to do. So on her way home, she has this dime. And the Lord speaks to her to stop at a seed farm, and she picked up, I don't know if it's seeds or I don't even know how you plant peanuts, but I don't know if they're plants. Are they seeds? Are they plants? What are they? Huh? Oh, well, whatever they are, she stopped and bought a dime's worth of peanuts, plants, and she took them back home and she planted them, and she harvested a little bit, and then she harvested some more. She harvested a little bit, she harvested some more, and then when she got a huge a harvest, she started selling them. And so what she would do, she would keep a log of all the money that she was making, and every month she would send a treasury report to Henry Ford. She mailed him a report every month of what she made from the dime that he gave her. And for 2 years, she sent him a report of everything they did and everything they harvested. No, not 2 years, a number of years. And finally, he got so sick and tired of getting those harvest reports that he gets in a car and he drives down to her. And he thought, this woman is determined to do what she said she was going to do. And that little bit I gave her, by faith, she took that and she expanded the capacity that she had to receive from God. And she said, I'm going to take this little bit and let God give me strategy to do a lot with it. And so what she did, Henry Ford showed up and gave her $1 million. And she built that college that's right there. And now it's one of the great universities in all of America. And Henry Ford paid for it because some woman had the faith to believe that God had something better, that she was going to obey God and trust God. Isn't it amazing what God can do with a little bit and what God can do with a few people who have just a little bit that'll just trust God for something bigger, huh? How many want God to expand your capacity to receive tonight? Stand with me tonight. Adam, would you come to the... You guys would come tonight. Adam, our worship leader, not Adam in the Bible. But I want God to bless you tonight. I want God to expand your capacity. And so the Lord spoke to me that this property that God has given us, it's not for us to just consume ourselves and to hoard to ourselves and to use it just for our own little good, to just cook a few hot dogs, to shoot a few deer. I'm just kidding. And to just do this or do that. God's given it for a reason. And I want us to do with it whatever God wants us to use it for, to expand the capacity. Because see, if He's got 135 acres for us, if we manage it the way God wants us to manage it, how many know He's got 500 acres for us? Or He's got something bigger for us. Why? Because God will put in your hands what He can trust you with. Oh, I wish I had some Pentecostals in here tonight. You'd be shouting all over the place. God wants to expand your... Don't despise the days of your youth, He told Timothy. Don't despise the small things that God does for you. Don't despise the little things that God does. It's just opportunity for you to use them so God can expand your life. How many know God wants to... I know you may start a job at $12 an hour. But how many know that if you'll be faithful to it, and that if you'll show yourself faithful and do and be faithful and be responsible with what God gave you and honor God with it, how many know God will expand that and give and open up something bigger for you? Huh? Because if you'll treat a $12 an hour or a $10 an hour or a $5 an hour job with everything you got that the Lord gave it to you, He knows that no matter what He gives you, you'll honor Him with it. Oh, I would just wish I had some folks that understood and had some faith. Is that right, brother? Has God blessed you the last year? Huh? Has He expanded your borders? Have you learned how the principles of God, that when you apply them, has God blown off the doors of blessing on your life this year? Because God loves faithful people. What do you think Mrs. Berry or Martha Berry thought as she was going home with that 10 cents? She could have got mad at Henry Ford, complained, wrote an article, bad-mouthed him, got bitter. Y'all hearing me? Gone to the newspapers, slashed his name, made fun of him, stood and kicked his door in, kicked him in the shins every time he came out, right? Flattened his tires, break his windows, harass his kids. Y'all think it's funny, but that's the approach that people take. See, if God's in control, we trust God. We don't trust in our own strength. But she said, God, I'm going to take that dime, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to use it for your kingdom. And if one plant of peanuts is all I get, I'll use it. Somehow, two people are going to get some peanuts. If that's all that eats is two people, then we're blessed. But now you got thousands of people now who wake up every morning and go to class and get an education and build their lives, and great lawyers come out of there. Great teachers come out of that university. It's one of the great universities in this nation. It's one of the best kept secrets in this nation because somebody just believed God for a few minutes. So Father, bless your people tonight. I want you to lift your hands, because as you lift your hands, God's going to expand your capacity to believe Him. Father, I pray the blessing of God on your people. I pray that you expand their territory. As Jabez said, God, will you bless me indeed? Lord, expand my territory. Move my borders. And I pray, God, people that are here that have jobs, I pray favor on their jobs. I don't pray favoritism. I pray favor. That when they're obedient to God, the favor of God comes on their life. I pray the marriages be blessed. Their homes be blessed. I pray for businesses to be blessed. I pray that in this city, that the people at River Valley will be the most blessed people that walk the streets of this city. And they realize that, God, you make them a blessing, not for themselves, but you make them a blessing to bless other people. And so that, Lord, people will look and say, my Lord, we can give them farms. We can give them land. We can give them buildings. We can. God knows He can send people here because we'll love them. We'll dress them. We'll help them. We'll strengthen them. We'll build families. We'll build churches. We'll do what God wants us to do. And so, Father, expand your people and their homes and their marriages and their lives and their families, and that the blessing of God would come upon them. Why? Because your word said that you frame the world by your word. And I pray the Holy Spirit in them will lead and guide them into all truth. Holy Spirit, pick them up now and lead them to their destiny. Guide them to the best place. For God, we know your blessing is immeasurable. Your love is immeasurable. Your wisdom is immeasurable. And River Valley thanks you tonight, God, for your goodness to us. Lord, when you gave us this property, you blessed us. And Lord, you said, and we built on it. And you blessed us, oh God. And you've gave us faithful people. And we've learned, God, that you're a good God, a merciful God. We'll never forget the goodness of God. I will not let negative people keep me from my blessing. I will not let negative people steal my joy, steal my shout, steal my perspective that God is a good God. So we thank you for your blessing. Hallelujah. Just begin to pray. Just begin to thank God where you are. Just begin to lift up your voice and thank God for what you have. Thank God. Some of you just got a dime tonight. That's all you got. You just got a dime. But I'm telling you, on the way, there's some peanuts you can buy that God will multiply for you. Huh? There's something you can invest in. I know that you got something small, but God will multiply it if you'll put it in His hands. Hallelujah. Expand my life, God. Expand my ability to understand your spirit and understand your presence. Hallelujah. As we draw nigh to you, God, you'll draw nigh to us. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God.